The Escape Pod. Let's go on a trip through time to see what tomorrow will look like yesterday.
Prepare the escape pod for a launch.
Today was yesterday's tomorrow.
Pressurizing.
Where we are now used to be the unimaginable future.
You will.
And today's outdated entertainment used to be yesterday's state-of-the-art.
Power.
Sifting through science fact and science fiction from outdated technology to the birth of the future. Let's get away from it all for a few minutes by going back the way we came into logbook.com's escape pod. The logbook.com's escape pod is once again in orbit, observing the futuristic, the fantastic, and the formative moments in geek history. I'm Earl Green, and it's time once again to see what tomorrow looked like yesterday. On this day in 1976, it was a course change for that space probe that wasn't yet known as Voyager 2. A plan was submitted to NASA by Jet Propulsion Laboratory to extend the mission of one of the upcoming Mariner Jupiter Saturn 77 space probes long enough to make the first close-up studies of the planet Uranus. NASA hadn't approved the plan yet, since it would require congressional approval of an extended budget. JPL mission planners even dangled another cosmic carrot, suggesting that whichever spacecraft visited Uranus could get a gravity assist from that planet to visit Neptune. In 2002, Space Shuttle Columbia lifted off with new wings for the Hubble Space Telescope.
4, 3, 2, 1. And liftoff of Space Shuttle Columbia to broaden our view of the universe through the Hubble Space Telescope.
Houston now controlling the flight of Columbia, the Pioneer shuttle headed for the Hubble Space Telescope.
Program. Roger, roll, Columbia.
Columbia into the roll, placing the shuttle in a heads-down, wings-level position for the 8.5-minute ride to orbit.
The wings were actually new, rigid solar panels designed to replace the somewhat floppy ones that had graced Hubble since its original launch in 1990. This was the final flight from which Columbia returned home intact. Born on this day in 1918, actor Roger Delgado, the first face of Doctor Who's mortal enemy, the Master.
Doctor, you are in our power and you will be exterminated.
No, not yet. You know as well as I do that this man does not fear death. I want him to suffer a much worse punishment. Leave the Doctor with me.
Very well. Do not fail the Daleks.
Right, we'll see who rules the galaxy when this is over. Do not fail the Daleks, indeed, you stupid tin boxes.
Astronaut Donald K. Deke Slayton was born today in 1924. Though selected as one of the original Mercury 7, he didn't fly in the Mercury years due to a heart condition discovered at the last minute. He finally made it to orbit as a member of the final Apollo crew in the Apollo-Soyuz test project in 1975. Roger Daltrey of The Who was born in 1944, and born in 1945, the original Starbuck, Dirk Benedict.
Listen, we better get ready.
Who is here, Starbuck?
Your people. Centurions.
I must go.
Sai! Don't. Don't make me do it.
Goodbye, Starbuck. Goodbye.
Director Ron Howard was born in 1954. Comic artist Archie Goodwin, who handled some of Marvel's earliest Star Wars comics, died on this day in 1998. On this day in 1968, Star Trek was renewed for a third season, and once again an NBC announcer made sure letter-writing fans knew about it at the end of this episode.
Captain's log, aboard the USS Exeter. What could have happened to the over 400 men and women who were on this ship?
Germans are prudent to leave. They're still here.
Wu is 462 years old. His father is well over 1,000.
They sacrificed hundreds just to draw us out in the open. We killed thousands and they still came.
In 1974, though, the future of the Enterprise was not on TV. The 275-pound filming model of the Enterprise was donated to the Smithsonian Air and Space Museum by Paramount Pictures, and it looked like it had suffered shipping and handling courtesy of the Klingons. The museum wasn't due to open until 1976, and all of that time would be needed to get the Enterprise model back to ship shape. In 1978, Star Wars fans hungry for more adventures of Luke Skywalker got the first ever original Star Wars novel, Alan Dean Foster's Splinter of the Mind's Eye. Originally written as a story treatment for a low-budget sequel in the event that the original Star Wars didn't do too well at the box office, Foster's story was fleshed out into a novel that set a pattern for all Star Wars novels to follow. The next movie to come along made it very hard to work this book into the overall storyline. In 1983, the Doctor found himself in a race against time, literally, in part one of the story Enlightenment, which also marked the final appearance of the Black and White Guardians.
My exile has been rescinded.
I'm pleased for you.
Doctor,
I shall miss you.
I don't want to go, Doctor. I've learned a lot from you. But I have to go back to trial. It's my home.
Better to go back while you're a bit of a hero, eh?
Everything, Doctor. Look after him, won't you? He gets into the most terrible trouble.
You can read about these events and many more on the logbook.com's ever-evolving timeline of geek history. The logbook.com's expanded guide to Doctor Who on TV from 1963 through 2011, 4.1 second edition, is now available. Over 400 pages catching you up on the time-traveling mythology of the longest-running science fiction series in TV history. You can get it in print or ebook form. You can pick up other original books, ebooks, and videos, and hundreds of other titles in the logbook.com store anytime. Thanks for listening to the Escape Pod.
Commencing Escape Pod landing for all seekers. The logbook.com Escape Pod was written and produced by Earl Payne.